Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Haw every Tuesday.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Gordon Whitmire from the Sun-Times, kind enough to sit in, and we are yet again honored with Coach Wannstedt joining us. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Oh boy, fantastic, huh? How about that weekend, huh? You talk about
something?
a triple bang, you know what I mean?
Right.
The division, the Packers at home. It doesn't get any better than that, really. I mean, it's what a great way for our fans. And you know, it's what's interesting. Everybody talks about the fans and how excited they were. I was doing a show last night here in Chicago, and I was watching some tape, and there was actually a couple of the sacks. The first blitz that Anquan Smith got, there was a miscommunication. I mean, the offensive line from Green Bay, you know, obviously couldn't hear the snap count.
Right.
And, boy, the Vic Fangio and that defense took advantage of it, and it was the fan – you know, excitement and noise.
And
that was a big
siren,
part of it.
Even all of it.
No question.
It's a different team. It's a different crowd.
So don't
that it was at the beginning of the year.
For the listeners that go and support it, don't underestimate. You know, you're having a great time and enjoying it, but you're helping. You know, as far as winning and losing, also.
I was at the game in Seattle when they it registered as an earthquake. It was unbelievable. It was a Marshawn Lynch run down the right side of the field, and he's knocking a couple guys over, total beast mode, and the place just went. And that's an unbelievably loud stadium,
right,
as you well know, Dave. And, you know, I have never heard anything like that in Chicago, but the last couple of games,
right,
it's really reaching that 12th man stage.
Yeah, and I think it has a lot to do with, obviously, the excitement of the fans, one, but also – you know, just what the organization puts into it, Soldier Field. You know what I mean? Like you mentioned, the siren, the music. I mean, that's all part of it. I mean, you got to kind of help along a little bit as far as getting the fans to that peak of craziness, you know. And it's neat. It's great to see.
It really underscores, too, maybe the importance of winning these last couple of games, or certainly this one, trying to get that bye and a home game.
What's going on there, Dave? When you look at the Rams and see what they've done the last couple of weeks, it's one thing to be on the road in Chicago and face what you just described, but to go home and to play an Eagles team that was desperate, let's be honest about it, had the quarterback change, but boy, Goff didn't play well in that game, and boy, they didn't look good in that game.
You know what? Going into that last week's game, and I would be concerned right now if I was McVay, the head coach at the Rams, for this reason. Coming into the game, Jared Goff, their quarterback, when they played on the road, he was 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Yep.
Wait, how about this? Under 60% completion. At home, up until last week, he was 18 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions, 70% completion. So, I mean, you're looking at 2 different quarterbacks here.
Yeah.
And last week was the first week that he struggled and didn't play well, in my opinion, at home. So if I'm Josh McVay, the head coach of the Rams, you know, you can put that stuff off and stick your head in the sand a little bit and say, well, as long as we're playing at home, we're okay. We got to get we can win these next 2 games. You know, I mean, get a bye and be playing at home. You know, well, you're going to have to play better than that, I think. You're going to have to, it can't all be about Todd Gurley, the running back. And that's the last week or two, that's kind of where their offense has gone.
You know, their other receiver went down. I mean, how much of that is
yeah,
not able to do some of the things you did before? How much of it is just on the quarterback? It looks like, Dave, honestly, that his confidence is shaking a little.
Yeah, and that can happen. I mean, that's you know, you can gain confidence. It's crazy. I've had teams in the NFL where you can gain confidence as a team and as a player week to week, and you can lose it. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, I mean, and now you're to this point in the season. I mean, this is pressure time now. You know what I mean? Every snap counts. Every play counts. I mean, they have to win these two games. They should win their last two games against the 49ers and the Cardinals. That's their last two
Cardinals
games.
Cardinals first, then the 49ers. The Bears have the they're at the 49ers, and then they're obviously at
Minnesota,
which is a – you know, again, if you're playing for something, that's interesting, but that's a tough opponent to go on the road and beat.
You know what, though? If I'm the Bears, I think this is how this thing's going to play out. We talked a little bit last week, but now it's even – I think that Minnesota's going to catch a little bit of fire here. You know, I think they're going to be that sixth seed. And so the Bears will play Minnesota 2 weeks in a row. They win this week. Matt Nagy has a big decision in that last game.
Right.
Do you play the Khalil Max or do you rest him and get ready for the playoff game? Now, you know, his history as far as preseason would be that he would rest him.
Yeah, he didn't play the third preseason.
and I would probably agree with him there. I mean, you're not going to win if you get Khalil Mack hurt or you get, you know, one of your stars hurt. So that aside, if – after the win last night with New Orleans, if they get the number one seed, okay, then that would mean that the Bears would be three, right? They would play the Vikings. They beat the Vikings, and now two plays three. So they would go, the Bears would go and play the Rams, which I like that matchup better. I don't like going and playing in the dome against Drew Brees. You got experienced quarterbacks. When you get the playoff time, I mean, you know, that was – my whole history. I mean, at Miami, we 10-11 wins, get to the playoffs. Now you got to beat Brady at that time. You got to beat Peyton Manning at that time. You know what I mean? And that's where it gets divided, Ben Roethlisberger's of the world. So I hope that the Rams end up number two. I think it helps the Bears.
Don't the Saints look a little a little more vulnerable right now?
Oh, I don't know.
That might be too strong a word, but –
but they look like they could beat you in a couple different ways,
right? You know what, though? I talked to some people at Carolina last week coming into that game. I mean, that was a desperate game for them. You know what I mean? I don't think they'll fire Ron Rivera, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of pressure on him right now. I mean, they've lost six in a row,
it's
guys.
Hard to believe.
They were 6-2 at one time, and they're, you know, they can't win a game, and they're out of the playoff race right now. So I kind of looked at the other way. I know what New Orleans offense can do there, but I was impressed with their defense last night. You know,
I didn't
think they could play that good a defense. I really did not. And you know, where the Rams, I'm disappointed. I don't think the Rams play. I think the Rams are average on defense. I really do.
This segment with Dave Wanstead brought to you by Webb Chevy. Searching for a great deal on Chevys in Chicago? Visit Webb Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn. And I think that's interesting that you say that, because I think the Rams have really good defensive players. And they've got, you know, Ndamukong Suh isn't doing anything. And Aaron Donald's a great player. But
last 2 weeks,
Yeah, and their secondary, Dave, they're making errors and they're giving up a lot of big plays. I mean, you know, it's great to win 54-51, but some would maybe mention the 51, right? I mean,
you know what, you can fall into that trap. And, you know, I've never been fortunate enough to have that good of an offense, but it's easy to fall in that trap a little bit. You know, we had Winston Moss, the assistant coach for the Packers that got fired, assistant head coach. You know, we had him on our Fox show last week, and he said they all kind of fell into the mentality. Now, everybody was doing their job. I mean, every week their defense went out, as an example, and tried to shut them out on Green Bay. Don't underestimate. But he says in the back of everybody's mind, Aaron Rodgers is going to bail us out. I think that's a little bit of the trap that the Rams defense fell into, is that, you know what, we're going to score 35, 40 points. We give up one big play, it won't be the end of the world. Well, guess what? Now they're struggling, and that one big play will get you beat.
And the Saints defense, Dave, I think the last 5 or 6 weeks, 11 points a game they're giving up.
That's correct.
And then when you have an offense and you're in that dome, and as you say, the veteran quarterback, they're doing the thing that the Rams aren't doing, which is peaking when you want to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know what, though? I think the Bears are kind of in that category.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Yep. I saw Mitch Trubisky. We sat here after week two, three, and I made the comment, and we were talking about Mitch running and some guys opened on the field. And my comment was, if I was Matt Nagy, Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, I would call Mitch in and say, Mitch, do yourself a favor. Do us a favor. Watch some Russell Wilson tape.
Yes.
Because, you know, and I'm speaking from experience. I faced Russell when I was at Pitt. He was at NC State. I faced him when he was at Seattle. I was in the NFL. So I know Russell Wilson. And when Russell Wilson starts moving in the pocket and he breaks containment, he's looking to pass first. He's not looking to run. I saw that for the first time last week with Mitch. Mitch broke containment. He got away from the pressure. He got out of the pocket, and his eyes were down the field, and he made some plays throwing the ball. I mean, Bears fans, that's a big step forward in my mind. It truly is. Because I won't mention a guy's name, but I've had several quarterbacks that never got that. You know what I mean? I used to say, what do you see when you break? I mean, you know, break containment. Are you can you see down the field? Get glasses or something. You know what I mean? There's about six guys open, and you're tucking and running like there's nobody open. I mean, what are you looking at? You know, but some guys, when they start running, they just don't see it. So that was a positive, I think, for Bears, for that football team last week, how Mitch played.
Well, so when you look at this field and you look at the usual suspects, the Patriots, right? That people are all up in arms about them. They're worried about them. The Rams were so good all season. Now people are down on the Rams. They're not playing as well. Even the Saints, what, 10 points and 12 points in two of their last three games? How wide open is this, and how many teams are actually getting better now compared to some of these other teams that are getting hurt and maybe not doing what we expected?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good question, because I would say the Saints, I think you got to look at the team. As I just said, we know they got an offense, and I think their defense is getting better. The Rams right now, I don't know. They've kind of flattened out a little bit. I think the Bears are definitely getting better. Unfortunately, I think the Vikings are going to get better. I mean, they may, whether it was by intent or not, you know, they fell into a running game last week that we all knew they had, right? And everybody knew they had, but it happened. And you talk about gaining confidence from that game. And Seattle lost a tough one, but I don't know, you know, I don't know. I think Seattle's a lot better than they were last week.
148 yards of penalties.
I'll tell you a team, and just because they're close here, you know, we talk about coach of the year, and Matt Nagy would get my coach of the year. But I'll tell you, and really, the Bears should get a lot of awards. I mean, Ryan Pace, we need to start talking about Ryan Pace. People underestimate what this guy has done, right?
Every move has been Midas touch. It's amazing.
And the other team that I was just going to mention a second, keep an eye on these Indianapolis Colts. Guys, their defense has given up the last 8 weeks 17 points a game. Right? 17 points a game. Yeah. They're second least amount of sacks, and you got Andrew Luck. The Indianapolis Colts, Ballard, their GM. I mean, he deserves some.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
You know who's probably going to win it? Jerry Jones. You know, Jerry will be executive of the year for getting Amari Cooper. I mean, come on, Mike. Come on. You know that,
that's
Molly.
Beautiful.
Come on.
Jerry, that's beautiful.
But Ryan Pace deserves it in my mind.
All right. We're gonna take a quick timeout. We come back. We'll ask Dave about tonight's Pro Bowl. How many Bears will be announced in that team? And listen, none of them are going to be able to play anyway. They're going to be in the Super Bowl. But the fact is that, what does that individual award mean to a player? How important is that to guys, even if they're not going to be in the game? And a lot of guys back out of it. But it is an honor that people will look at when they start evaluating careers. We'll talk to Coach Wanstead about that next. It's Mully and Haw with Gordon Whitmire on the Score.
Dave Wanstead hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. Gordon Whitmire from the Chicago Sun-Times, kind enough to sit in, and we have Coach Wanstead for another segment. And Dave, we have a texter saying, Executive of the Year should be John Gruden. He put two teams in the playoffs, the Bears and the Cowboys. clever.
You know what? I've been told that of all John's draft picks, 61 of them, only like six of them have made Pro Bowl stuff. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Well, tonight's a big one because the Bears are favored to get at least four players into the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to guys, Dave? I mean, I know that it's not, you know, no one really wants to play anymore, and the game itself right. is awful, but what does the honor mean? Because part of it is from peers.
Well, it's from a peer thing. Yes, it's, and they've changed it a little bit from the old days where it used to be a free for all in those meetings. I mean, I used to sit in those meetings and scream at guys, and we didn't have a vote. It was just the players voting on the players.
Yeah.
And if you had a player that grabbed the chalk and your veteran players, and I had some guys that got up there and they would write the names and they would basically say, this guy's the best player. And you know, all the young guys are all afraid of him. They sit there and just shake their head, and he gets the votes. They've changed it up now. So, you know, they got yeah. the fans, and it's – so
the
I think –
the coaches vote. It's, yeah. it's a balance of a third to the fans, a third to the players, and a third to the coaches.
Yeah, so it's – I think it's a lot better system now. It's a little bit more legitimate. The advantage is, yes, peer number one, but I think it's – the big thing is contract-wise. I mean, there's a lot of guys make
money.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys all of a sudden are good players in the free agency market, and they become great players because they went to a Pro Bowl.
So you have you've been watching this team all year, and you watch the NFL. Who do you like on the – I mean, who do you think – I'll give you the names. Khalil Mack's going to make the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
Eddie Jackson's going to make the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
Kyle Fuller's going to make the Pro Bowl.
He probably will. He's got the numbers. Yep.
Akeem, it's uncertain. He doesn't have the support from the fan vote for some reason. And then their thinking is that Tariq Cohen could make it as a punt returner, return guy, but it would honor him basically for the things that he can do. He can do a lot of different things, but he's not necessarily defined by one position.
Well, team success has a lot to do with Pro Bowls. I'll give you an example. The first year we went to the Pro Bowl at Dallas, excuse me, with the Cowboys, we had zero Pro Bowl players on our defense. Zero. And we win the Super Bowl, and I think the next year we had five or six. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So you win like the Bears are doing now, and that helps the players get voted in.
About 30 guys off that team wound up as Pro Bowlers yeah. before it was all you said know, and done. You guys had so much talent.
And I would say this, Akeem Hicks, he would be one of the first guys that I vote in.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy from week one to now, there's not a player that's been more valuable, in my opinion, than Akeem Hicks. And you know what? I don't know if Tariq Cohen is going to get it nationally, but I know from a Bears standpoint, I mean, they might vote an MVP and maybe they give it to Khalil Mack, but they should give half of the team MVP. Think about what Tariq Cohen brings to this team week after week and how many situations he helped this team win every week. So I would, if you're going to pick a team MVP, I'm not so sure I wouldn't pick Cohen. I'm serious.
It's a great call.
I got to tell you, that touchdown he scored, there's pure speed cutting across the field. And then, you know, he knew he had made a sensational play and he goes sprinting across the end zone. That was electric. That was a great moment in that game.
He does it every week, and he does the other things too that I look from a coach's standpoint. Is he protecting the football? I've had a lot of guys that do crazy runs like that. Then about every six plays, they put the ball on the ground, you know, where he protects the football. He's smart. He makes good decisions. And they do a lot with him now. Matt Nagy, I mean, you know, there's a lot of motions. There's a lot of formation stuff that he has to learn, run wise, pass wise. I mean,
run the Wildcat with him, Dave.
They run the Wildcat.
I got to tell you that seek with first the fake punt.
Yeah, you don't want to have those two things happen in New Orleans.
Oh boy, you know? that's what goes through your head. Mm. And Gordon made a joke earlier saying he wants them to run every trick play they have because then when they get to the playoffs they don't have to.
You know,
make everyone prepare for them.
Well, we ran that, and that's true. I mean, we ran that with Ricky Williams a lot. The Wildcat. I used to run it all the time with Shady McCoy at Pitt and Deion Lewis and. We would call it, you know, and I guess I don't know for sure. I would like to ask Matt if they were actually having him read it, or was it just a excuse me, just a missed handoff? You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
generally when we
would looked like he was reading it, Dave.
Did it? Yeah, when we would call it with LeSean McCoy, we would say, okay, Wildcat, you know, 42 give, you know,
yes.
or 42 keep.
Right.
And we were
you'd make the decision
we
for
were
him.
Telling Shady, you keep it or you give it. And I don't know what the circumstances were there. But
he was either reading or selling a fake because he was definitely not looking at what he was doing.
But let me make this last point. You know what? Matt Nagy is his first year as a head coach. I mean, give him some credit for learning, too. I'm sure he did things. I know for a fact. And he's not going to stand up in front of the media. I wouldn't either. He's as honest as they come. And I think he's very upfront about the decision he makes. But I guarantee you, he would do things somewhat differently in every game, you know, today than what he did in week one, week two. So he's a first-year head coach that's learning week after week after week. And this is all in the back of his mind now as far as situations, whether it be fake plays or trick plays or whatever.
And the fake punt was usually, anyway, Dave, and you can speak to this a lot more than I can, usually you see something on tape. You see some tendency. There's something we can take advantage of. There's some key that makes you believe you're going to be able to fake a punt. Again, I think they've got so much talent.
Yeah.
Why not? If you're going to go for it on
a
4th and 3 or whatever it was.
Fourth and 3.
Just go for it.
That brought back some bad memories. I about vomited on that. That's a true story. We're playing Notre Dame for the national championship. In fact, it's in that tape, Convicts versus the Catholics. That was the game. And all week long, Tony Wise and I handled the punt team. And I said to Jimmy, you know, I says, we can run this fake punt. If they line up like this, we can get these guys. So we said, oh, Jimmy said, okay, here's what I love it. He says, let's do this. The first time they punt, let's see how they line up. And he says, Dave, you have everybody in the press box watch something and you tell me, did they line up the way we want? If so, the next time we punt, we're running a fake. So it's the first punt. I swear. And I'm in the press box. I said, okay, Gordon, you got the tackle. Mike, you got him. Everybody good. Everybody what? I'm looking down at what I'm going to, and I hear the roar of the crowd. I look up, and Jimmy didn't wait. He was so anxious to run that fake punt. He could have cared less what they –
He didn't care how they lined up.
We went about 2 yards backwards the other way, and they came back and hit us. Oh, yeah. And we ended up giving up a touchdown off of that play. But
so did the Bears.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So at the end of it, but we lost the game by one. You know, we went for two and didn't win the game. They were fortunate enough to overcome it. So you learn from those situations and give Matt credit though. I wouldn't be too hard on that stuff. He's learning and winning. And that doesn't happen very
often. That's a great point, Dave. I don't think we talk about that enough. You know, we talk about Mitch and how he hasn't played and how he has to learn, and we talk about, but we don't talk about the play caller also developing as a head coach. He's done an unbelievable job, and yet, you know, he started calling plays in the NFL last year, only for a year.
Half a year.
And now here he is completing a year, and I don't know that we don't talk about the difficulty of that, and that you know, you've been through calling defensive plays. Doesn't it take don't you become It's almost second nature to you at some point.
Yeah,
but
I called the defenses here my first 2 years at the Bears.
I remember that.
But I mean, what has to happen, though, I just think it's, you know, there's going to have to come a point with Matt Nagy where it's a third and long situation. And this is my opinion, and maybe he doesn't. And now Vic Forge, and maybe he wants a blitz or he doesn't want a blitz.
Right.
And he's got to get to the point where he says, hey, Vic, let's play coverage here now. Let's not come after him. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, he's not there, though.
That's all part of growing, the whole bit.
That's why I wonder about a Coach of the Year award, because it is, you know, his decision making is limited to one half of the field. And I'm not being cruel or anything. I think the guy, Dave, I love the guy. I think he's sensational and a lovely person. I'm just wondering as we pick this apart if any of that comes into play.
Yeah, I don't, because you got the talent on defense. You know,
offense
is where you got the new guys, the young guys, the inexperienced, and what he's done with that offense has just been fantastic.
He's another right guy at the right time
perfect hire. Yeah. And he told us that they're doing basically the offense is at the 101 stage. They were at 505 when he was in Kansas City. Everybody there knew, like, there, you know, you forget how new this is, not just to Mitch, but to Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller and Taylor Gabriel, everybody that's just come into this thing. And you know, even as much as Jordan Howard was here before, This is a new offense. Ditto to the guy you talked about, Tariq Cohen.
But this is also where some of these gadgets come in, right? These guys are these. It's fun for them. And it makes them buy in a little quicker. And
oh, they love it. No, that's exciting for players. That's a good point, Gord. You know, and the other thing too, Mark Helfrich. He's never worked with Mark Helfrich. He's never worked with the offensive line coach. Help me out.
Harry Heastead. Great job he's done, Dave.
So, yeah, fantastic job. So, you know, Matt's trying to put together the offense. He's trying to mold these coaches so everybody's kind of thinking the same way, but yet he's trying to pull ideas from each one of these guys. I mean, it's not an easy job. I think he's doing a great job.
Coach, thank you. Okay. Really appreciate it. Always right, enjoy. Let's get to Joe with a scoreboard update.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk. NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score. Gordon Whitmire of the Chicago Sun-Times sitting in for David today, and we are delighted, as always, to get our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys today?
Mike, you know, we are flying high in Chicago. You know, just when things look kind of ugly with their loss at the New York Giants, I believe you called all this, as I recall. They come back and win that game against the Rams, and there's a real feeling of hope and possibility. And then they come back and they stomp the Packers, the hated Packers. And now they got two road games left. And, Mike, the Bears have something to play for. They think they can maybe overtake the Rams.
Wouldn't that be something, too, if they could force the Rams to come back to L.A.?
Oh, boy.
I mean, back to Chicago. Boy, I had the setup, right? I just got the wrong location. I said yesterday, I think the Rams would rather play on a sheet of broken glass at the base of an active volcano than come back to Chicago in January. And I have been doing all right here with the Bears prognostications lately. I had them beating the Vikings. I did not have them winning on Thanksgiving, but every game since then I've been all right. Blind squirrel eating an acorn. And the Bears are a great story. And, you know, that home field advantage at Soldier Field in January, we haven't thought about it much in recent years because they haven't earned it. You got to get to the playoffs and you got to have games there for people to realize how strong that can be. But can you imagine the Saints or the Rams having to play there this year? They're going to thank God they don't have to if they don't have to.
Mike, you know, and I knew this, that the Saints have been playing some really good defense of late. We talked about it earlier. I think it's five or six games. It's like 11 points a game. I did not realize that the Rams are allowing the most points over those that same time period. What happened to the Rams?
You know, here's what happened, and this is a theory that Chris Sims trots out from time to time on PFT Live, and I think in this case it applies. The Rams beat the Chiefs 54-51 on that Monday night, the game that was supposed to be in Mexico City after they'd spent the week in Colorado. They had the wildfire issues, and everything kind of settled down, and they go into the bye week for Thanksgiving weekend and feeling like, you know, the best team in football, and maybe there'll be a Chiefs-Rams rematch in the Super Bowl, and then they come out of the bye, and they just haven't been the same. And sometimes during that bye, you can lose your spark. You can lose your magic. They struggled to beat the Lions. They looked horrible against the Bears. They looked pedestrian against the Eagles on Sunday night. Jared Goff is not looking like a franchise quarterback. He's sailing the ball. He doesn't have that demeanor that kind of pulls the team together and inspires confidence from afar or from within the organization. It just doesn't feel that vibe is coming off of him. And the Rams just aren't getting it done. And now they've got Todd Gurley banged up. Offensives have figured out that if you double-team Aaron Donald, no one else, including Ndamukong Suh, is going to step up and make plays. And the Rams are at a spot now where they better get it together quickly or they will be coming back to Chicago. And I don't think it ends well for them if they have a playoff game in Chicago in the divisional round.
Well that said, how scary should Bears fans think it would be to go to L.A.? I mean, your climate-controlled environment, the one team's playing really well right now and the other one's not. I mean, I understand the home field advantage at Soldier Field, but maybe it's not that big a disadvantage in L.A.
I agree with you. I think that that what you see in L.A. with both of the teams there, because the NFL went 20 years with no L.A. teams, there are fans of every NFL team, and they will come out to see their favorite team play. And when the Vikings were there, when the Packers were there, when the Eagles were there, very, very loud contingents of the opposing fan, almost like a Super Bowl mix of half for the home team, half for the road team. And when you consider the pressure that will be on the Rams, the lack of playoff experience, the fact that they lost to the Falcons last year in the wild card round, I think all those things come together and put even more pressure on the Rams to win that wild card game. And it may be that the Bears end up hosting the divisional round game because the Rams will have lost to what would it be if they're there?
Arizona and San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, and if the Rams end up in the wild card round, I got myself all twisted up on that. However it plays out, there's going to be a ton of pressure on the Rams to win their first playoff game, whether it's wild card, yeah, whether it's divisional round. If they're at home, it's going to be very, very difficult for them, because I agree, the home field advantage isn't as great, and there's going to be pressure on them to finally win a home playoff game.
We look at the top six in the NFC, Mike, and we know it's, at this point, Saints, Rams, Bears, and Cowboys with the Seahawks and the Vikings. However, the Eagles are on the outside looking in, and they just had a pretty good performance. I don't think much of Washington. I think Carolina is done too. But the Eagles are interesting to me. Could you see them catching some kind of magic and maybe sliding into this thing and being able to create a problem? Who outside the top three or four teams would worry you or should worry Bears fans?
Well, if I'm the Bears, I don't want the Vikings rolling into town. I never want a division rival to come to town
third game
in the division round or any round, really. I remember a Vikings-Bears playoff game years ago when the Vikings had swept the Bears and the Vikings won the division and they got together in the wild card round and in came the Bears and they beat the Vikings. I think that a team in your division is less likely to be intimidated by you. And they know the stadium. They know they're more comfortable going into that setting. They're not in awe of having to face the Bears. I think you want to knock them out if you can. And I think that's why, even if the Bears are settled in at the 3 seed going into Week 17, they still should try their damnedest to knock the Vikings out. And the Eagles could be very dangerous. And last year, you know, no one believed in them as the 1 seed. Now no one believes in them as the team on the fringe. If they get that 6 seed. I don't know what they could do. They're a different team with Nick Foles. There's so much different with Nick Foles when they're in this kind of crisis situation. Early in the year, Foles wasn't great. But now that it's Foles and it looks like it's going to be him the rest of the way, something happens to the team to the point where if they get to the playoffs and they win a game or two in the postseason, I think they need to have the difficult conversation. Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, Jeff Lurie, they need to get together in a conference room and figure out, is Wentz our guy? Is Foles our guy? Which of these two guys are we going to pin our future to? Because even though Carson Wentz is the better overall quarterback, the better overall passer, the better overall athlete, there's something missing by way of his ability to stay healthy and his ability to inspire his teammates the way Foles does. And it's real. If it happens again this year, I'm not saying they have to win the Super Bowl, but if it happens again this year and they get to the final 8, for example, the Eagles really have a decision to make. And maybe it's Wentz, but they at least need to consciously make the decision between the two guys.
You know, the AFC, it is unbelievable to look at Kansas City and the way they played all year. And I don't think anybody is on the Chargers or has missed the fact that they could overtake them here real easily. I mean, Kansas City going to Seattle, that's a very hard place to play. And I'm not saying that the Chargers are a lock against a Baltimore team that needs to win. And, of course, they're at the Broncos to close out the season. But, my God, Kansas City, what if they end up being the fifth seed, instead of the Chargers?
It's a huge pair of primetime games, Saturday night and Sunday night. The Chargers-Ravens Saturday on NFL Network, and then NBC has Chiefs and Seahawks. And you're right, the moment that Philip Rivers found Mike Williams, who was uncovered in the end zone for that two-pointer, that's when the Chargers became a threat to be the number one seed. And I think a lot of people woke up to the reality on Friday that, oh my gosh, the Chargers may win the division. If they win the division, they're going to win the conference. They're going to be the top. We're going to be playing playoff games in a 30,000-seat soccer stadium in Southern California. It's amazing. I mean, think about it. The Rams may squander their shot at home field advantage, and the Chargers may be the L.A. team that ends up getting it. And you're right. It's all going to come down in large part to what happens this weekend. And the Chiefs are going to have a tough road in Seattle because the Seahawks still haven't clinched a playoff berth. They lost to the 49ers. They were penciled in at number five, and they probably still will be number five. But they've got every incentive to win. And even without the need to lock in the playoff berth, Pete Carroll's the kind of guy that's going to love to just throw a wrench into someone else's plans and prove to every other team out there, you better take us seriously in January because we can beat anybody, and especially at home, although it's going to be a long shot for the Seahawks to have a home game in the postseason. That's the only good news. If the Bears get the Seahawks, they're going to draw the Seahawks to them, and I think the Seahawks fundamentally different away from home. But for Saturday night or Sunday night, it's tremendous to think that between the Chargers and the Chiefs, the two best teams in the conference, one of them is going to be the five seed and have to go on the road.
So here's a couple of texters are texting in wanting to know. Actually, I'm lying. It's me. I want to know.
Well, you can text. I mean, I figured out how to text myself, so I do that to remind myself of things.
But when you look at the, we've got a pretty good handle, we think, maybe on the NFC. But if the Bears get to the Super Bowl, can you even handicap right now the AFC? I mean, with what's going on in New England, what's going on out west? Pittsburgh.
A lot of changes.
I mean, who's
Houston,
who's
Texans
a real,
ahead of are, New England? Yeah,
yeah. Are the Texans for real? I mean, is there a clear cut favorite out there? How wide open is this?
There isn't. Which tells me that even though the Patriots are going to be taking a harder path than we've seen them take in past years, you know, they've had a bye every year since 2010. They've won at least 12 games every year since 2010. They're going to have to go on the road, and they're 3-5 on the road this year, but. You know, when it comes to playoff experience and just overall savvy and coaching and situational football, although they haven't been their usual self the last 2 weeks, they failed in situational football against the Dolphins. They had 14 penalties against the Steelers. Bill Belichick harps on avoiding those kinds of things. But, you know, when it's time to get to single elimination and everyone else gets freaked out, that's when the Patriots slide right back into that glove that they are very comfortable with. But I remember going into this season, guys, the thought was all the great teams were in the NFC, and whoever comes out of that mess of very, very good teams is going to end up having a fairly easy go of it in the Super Bowl. But we'll see. And I think that if I'm the Bears, the Patriots are the one. I don't want a Super Bowl 20 rematch. I'll take any other team out of that group. Because the Patriots are that team that, you know, it's just such familiar territory for them. You're going to have guys who are wide-eyed, and the Patriots are going to be laser-focused, and you just don't want that in a setting like the Super Bowl.
This segment with Mike Florio is brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. And Mike, we'll let you go. Just looking at the situation with L.A., it seemed anyway, just from the TV, that half the fans in the Coliseum were Eagles fans the other night. And certainly we talk about the Bears going out there. The Bears travel well. There could be a lot of Bears fans. You know, 30,000 stadium with the San Diego Chargers. I'm still calling them that. How will that break down? I mean, are there fans in Los Angeles of these teams? And is the NFL, I mean, it's got to help build a base to have two really perhaps very highly ranked teams, one a number one seed maybe and a number two seed. Would that help the L.A. market?
Or it can't hurt.
Market,
it can only help because here's what happens. And, you know, we all have people like this in our family, and some of us may be those people in our family who every year have a favorite team, and it's based upon who's doing well. So if you're in any way equivocal about your favorite team and you live in L.A. and the two local teams are playing really well, I'll just become a Rams fan and a Chargers fan, and no one can accuse me of being a bandwagon jumper because I live in L.A., and I think that over time, if these two teams are relevant, if they're competitive, if they can contend, and it may take another generation. But when you have an entire generation of kids grow up where they can pick any team they want and they develop that loyalty, you know, they swallow that hook that the NFL wants us all to consume where we become emotionally attached to a team, it's hard to give that up. And with 20 years of basically anyone you want, be a fan of any team you want, they're going to have to do a lot of work to reverse that. And they're off to a better start than we thought, especially with the Chargers. Now we'll see which of these two teams can sustain it. But as of right now, I'll tell you what, between those two teams, I feel a lot better about the Chargers than I do about the Rams.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you.
See you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and, of course, NBC Sports. We're going to bring in Dan and Connor next. It's Mully and Haw with Gordon Whitmire on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.